In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our text for today is the first lesson recorded in Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 11 verses. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make a breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will enter you. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off.'" This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who sends his Spirit into our hearts to give us life. Reanimating the human body is not a new thought. Mary Shelley wrote her book about Victor Frankenstein in the year 1818. Zombies are not a new cinematic thought. You can go back many years to see movies about zombies. There are biotech companies and cryogenic companies that make a business poised on this promise. All the way from reanimating dead brain cells to literally reattaching severed heads to new and improved bodies that in the future no longer will be subject to disease and death. We'll see. Or maybe better, our children or our grandchildren will see. God granted the prophet Ezekiel a remarkable vision. At first look, it may seem as if it is about reanimating dead bodies. But that's not what this vision is about. And as a side note, who in the world would want this body reanimated to come back to life in this world dying in its decay and in its sin? No, the lesson of the giving life to the dry bones is about a miracle. It is about the miracle of the preservation and the creation of the church. It's about God, the Holy Spirit, being the breath of life that came into God's people at a time when everything seemed hopeless. It's about the Spirit of the Lord coming into our hearts at a time when everything may seem hopeless because of our sin and guilt, to give us new life, to make us the children of God. God kept and would increase His nation Israel. And God gives spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. As I said at first, Ezekiel's prophecy may seem to apply to the resurrection of the dead on the last day. Now that's going to happen, but that's not what this prophecy is all about. Israel, the nation, had become a valley of dry bones. They had become skeletons. This vision is about God, not what He was going to do on the last day, but what He was going to do and continues to do in the days leading up to the last day, going all the way back to the days of Israel's captivity in Babylon. You recall that Ezekiel was a prophet whom God had called to be the pastor, to preach to the exiles who were there in that strange and foreign land. They needed such a preacher and such a pastor because they were feeling deserted. They were despondent and afraid they would never see their homeland again. They doubted very much their future, not only as a nation, but that remnant of believers within the nation, their future even as the church. They really weren't sure about what God had promised them. Now, just before our text, in the chapter right before it, God had prophesied and assured them that He would return them to their home. He said, "But you, mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for My people Israel, for they will soon come home." God told Israel, soon you will come home. The people were having trouble, as I said, believing this. And so instead of hopefulness, they cried out, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." And this is one of those places where God identifies the meaning of the vision for us. He said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel." Only God could restore life and hope to His people. And He would do that because His honor and His glory were at stake. What would He look like to the other nations if their great and loving God left them there to rot and die out in this foreign land? What would happen to the promise that He had given to Abraham, who passed it on to Isaac, who passed it on to Jacob, and so forth? What would have happened to that promise of the Savior if the people became those, or if those people remained those skeletons, those dry bones with no life in them? Then the promise would have been untrue. And then a horrific thought would come to mind, that God was a liar, or that God's promises were something we could not depend upon completely. Thus, the first meaning of Ezekiel's remarkable vision: God would preserve His nation. He wouldn't let them die. He would bring them back to life from a small flock, from a small group to once again a great nation as a physical nation. But even more, he would continue to give life to his church. There would always be people in Israel who believed the promise. And by his Spirit, he would see to it that that continued. And so we have that vision of where the nation Israel, in which the church existed, was beginning to look like a valley of dry bones, with no life in them, completely cut off from the Lord. But then God told Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones, preach my word to them. And that's what Ezekiel did. Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. Ezekiel did as God directed him. And that word of the Lord preserved his nation, from whom King David would come, that great ruler over, the nations would grow again after they returned to Israel and would once again restore the land and the temple to the glory that it had known in David's time centuries earlier. And the church would remain there. And the promise that God had given to those generations would remain true. God told and directed Ezekiel, you are going to breathe life into them, and they will become a vast army. He said, breathe into the slain that they may live. Ezekiel did as God directed him, and God blessed Ezekiel and the nation and gave them their freedom, remember, under King Cyrus and the Persians. Now, apart from the Persian part, doesn't that sound like our lives? We do what God directs us, and God blesses us. We hear the word of the Lord, and that word puts life into our daily activities. It's not just about the job. It's not just about going about our business. It's not just meeting our responsibilities of our family concerns. But as the Lord directs us in those things and we follow them, as he breathes into us and gives us our life of faith, our life of the desire to give glory to him and follow his word, then life becomes much more than that. We don't go through life like a bunch of dried up skeletons, lifeless. We don't go about our daily activities as if things were hopeless and we've been cut off and it just looks like the future doesn't really hold much possibility for God keeping his wonderful promises to bless us as he has said. God breathes that gift of life into us, and our life becomes more than just about routine and a paycheck and responsibility. We serve God, and we serve one another. We use our abilities as the tools that God gives us, and we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that the next generation can share that good news of Jesus as the Savior. And when we do that, all the while, the Lord keeps his promises to forgive our sins, to bless our lives, and to keep us on the path that leads to the hope of the glory of God in heaven. The nation Israel is no longer the Lord's physical nation. The Lord doesn't have a physical nation anymore. The only nation the Lord has now is the church. Truly, in that sense, the church and the nation are one, because we are God's people living under our King, Jesus Christ. And it is in that, to that nation, to that church, that the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, through the preaching of Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, that He brings people into life and that He keeps us in life. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Before we became Christians, we were a valley of dry bones. We were really cut off from God. We were really dead, and things were hopeless. But God breathed into us the breath of life by giving us the Holy Spirit. The same God who breathed into man and woman the literal breath of life that animated them and gave them life, breathes that spiritual life into us through the preaching of Christ. He raises us from being in that valley of dry bones into a vast army. A vast army of disciples who serve Him and one another and who share the gospel. We trust that that Savior who does all those things is Jesus of Nazareth, because we see Jesus manifest that power by raising His dear friend Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead to show His power as God, to show His authority as the Messiah. And so with His powerful word, He breathed into Lazarus the breath of life that once again reanimated him and brought him back to life. But He also was showing that He is that Messiah who sends the Spirit, who breathes that breath of life to give us that new life of faith. Raising Lazarus from the dead was a visual aid to show the people who witnessed it that He is God and that He is the promised Messiah. And many who had seen what Jesus did believed in Him. With His enemies, it had just the opposite result. We read in the Bible that it was after the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus that the Pharisees and the other enemies of Jesus decided it's time to get rid of Him. It's really time to stop talking about it and to arrest Him and get rid of Him. And so from that time on, they were determined that Jesus would end up on Calvary's cross. Now, all those things were in God's plan, of course, but we are glad that our Savior went to that cross on Calvary, there to pay for our sins and for our guilt. We were as good as dead, but now we live because of our Savior, Jesus. After the fall, after the final fall of Jerusalem and the final deportation of Israel into Babylon, the people said, you know, as a people and as a nation, we're done. As a people and a nation in chains, we are finished. We are cut off. We are as good as dead. But the Lord says through the prophet Ezekiel, no, you're not. I can change that. I can, and I will. And I'm going to change it through Ezekiel. Listen to him. Listen to the promises of mine that he will share with you as my spokesman. I will give you new life as a vast army. I will give you that saving faith in the Messiah who is to come, who will pay for your sins. You and I, when we look at what we were, dead in our sin and unbelief, think, I'm done. I'm through. I'm eternally, my sins separate me from God. I am completely cut off. But God in Christ says, I can fix that. And he did, by sending Jesus and by Jesus being our Savior on the cross. Jesus said, I will change that. Believe in me. Trust in me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I ask you the question that Jesus asked Martha in our gospel. Do you believe this? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will have that breath of life, that new spiritual life of faith. You have been forgiven in Christ, who is now your life. He has turned you from a valley of dry bones into a vast army of disciples who will one day populate the new Jerusalem in heaven. The Apostle Paul, in our second lesson for today, wrote about the fact that as those who have been given the Spirit of life in faith, that same Spirit that God will one day also reanimate our bodies. He wrote, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. On the last great day, we will hear the sound of tendons and flesh and skin coming together as the Holy Spirit calls us from death to worship our Father as His sons, as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. One day, God will reanimate our bodies. But first, He reanimates our souls. God gave Ezekiel a remarkable vision. We are living it. Amen.